My wife is not with us today. Appreciate your prayers. She has a rare neurological disease and hard to explain, and she was doing better. They gave her some medicines that were helping her, but she didn't do well yesterday or last night, so be praying for Bonnie. You know, you've all been very gracious and very loving and praying for her, and we really appreciate that. And so we're sort of baffled like the doctors, so just keep her in prayer, and we're really thankful for that, that we have a congregation that's so loving and caring. Let's stand together as God's people in God's house, gathered around His Word, and read from Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 through 20. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Title of the message today, Hearing with Your Heart. We actually hear from God more in our heart and our innermost being than any other way. I remember as a kid growing up, my cousins and I always picked on my grandfather because he was hard of hearing and he wouldn't get hearing aids. And now I regret it because now I'm hard of hearing and I have hearing aids. And I remember we would always pick on him behind his back because, you know, we'd say something like, someone would say, well, what do you mean? And he would say, what, are we going to have beans? Yeah, stuff like that. So we're not talking about the physical hearing today. We're talking about a spiritual hearing where we hear God in our heart. Yeah, I really want to thank the technicians back there, Gary and Amanda. I don't think people know how much of a sacrifice it is for them to be back there and doing that. They miss a lot, and they have to be on the ball, and they have to be hearing. I had one place I was at that the sound man was hard of hearing. Isn't that a little ironic? He's the sound man, and he's hard of hearing. Someone said this one time, you know that a church congregation's in trouble when the sound man says to the pastor, could you repeat yourself? I didn't catch the first four words. There's a saying in Revelation that's repeated seven times. It says this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Revelation 2:7, Jesus said that to the church at Ephesus. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Is he talking about these physical ears? No. Then in the very same chapter, he says the same thing to the church in Smyrna. Then the exact same chapter, he says the exact same thing to the church in Pergamum. And then in the exact same chapter, he says the same thing to the church in Thyatira. Then we go into chapter 3 of Revelation, and he says it again to three more churches. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And he says it to the church in Philadelphia. He says it to the church in Sardis. And of course, the famous one that we hear about a lot, the church in Laodicea. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Who's the church? We're the church. Who's supposed to be hearing from the Spirit of God? We are. Say, we're the church.
We're the church.
You didn't convince me. We're the church.
We're the church.
Say, I'm the church.
I'm the church.
Look to the next people on either side and say, you're the church.
You're the church.
So we can hear from God by His Spirit. Him that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, which is us. And we can hear the Spirit, but it's in our innermost being. It's not so much with our physical and with our brain. God has a new heart for you, as we just saw in the scripture that we read. That heart feels the Holy Spirit. That heart hears the Holy Spirit. It pumps spirit life into us when we get a new heart. God has given to anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ into their life a new heart. And there's a reason for that. This new heart in us is really God putting Himself in us. Why does He give us a new heart? It's because our original heart can't and won't follow God. It won't. Why has God given us a new heart? It's because our original heart is hardened against God. You notice it says He will take a heart of stone and He'll give us a heart of flesh. And with that, He gives us His Spirit. Why does God give us a new heart? Because our original heart is not careful to keep the laws of God. But when we have a heart that comes from God and He gives us a new heart, we want to keep His laws. And the greatest thing of it is we can't really keep the laws on our own. We need the power of His Holy Spirit. We need Jesus Christ who fulfilled all the law. This is an interesting fact that I saw when I was studying for this message earlier in the week. That God, if you remember, sent the law, the Ten Commandments, down from a mountain. And it was Mount Sinai. There's going to be a test after this. And there comes the law. Later on, God sends the Holy Spirit because He knew that we could not keep all the laws. He knew we couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. We couldn't keep all 660 or 66 laws that there are. So He sent down the Holy Spirit, and He sent down His Holy Spirit on a mountain. But it wasn't the mountain of law, the Mount of Sinai. He sent down His Holy Spirit on Mount Sinai. Now, we never really see God talk about the mountain of law anymore, Mount Sinai. But we see all through Scripture how He talks about Mount Zion, how He talks about Zion, how He loved Zion. In other words, God loves grace. He doesn't love the law. He loves grace, and He loves us so much. He talks about Zion 52 times in the Scripture, enough for every week to remind us that God has put His heart into us, and that He loves us with an undying love, that He is there to speak to us, and He's there to lead us and guide us through anything that we have to go through in life. And some people here today are going through some very dark valleys. But the wonderful thing of it is we have God's heart, and His Spirit can speak to us and bring us the comfort and the counsel that we need at any time, because He poured it out, His Holy Spirit, on Mount Zion. He's not about the law. God loves grace. Why did He give us a new heart? Because the prophet Jeremiah said this. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Did you know that? A person that does not know the Lord, their heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand? Jeremiah says. The Bible says that the heart is the center of our understanding. The brain is not the center of our understanding. We don't understand God with our thoughts and our brain. We have to have it come from here down into our heart. This is where our relationships are. They're deep within our innermost being, in our heart. That's why some people can hear the Word of God over and over and over again and hear it in their brain, but it never changes them. It never brings them closer to God. They really have no encounter with God. They have never seen God do the supernatural. It's because they've not allowed God to use the new heart that He's put in them. Oh, let's have God use the new heart that He's put in each and every one of us. There's some biological facts about the heart that I didn't know until I looked them up. One of the things is this, is the brain develops after the heart. God puts an emphasis on our heart more than our brain. And I can see why, because I have a grandson who's a genius. At 8 years old, he does calculus. He took computer programming when he was 4. He reads at a college level. But his heart is a whole different story. Knowing it all is not that great of a thing. He struggles in other areas where you can only have the heart move you. He cannot understand social relationships. He has a hard time interacting and making friends with other people, because that comes from the heart. And a relationship from God comes in our heart, the new heart that He's given us. This is a wonderful fact. Our heart has 5,000 times more energy than our brain. So when you woke up this morning and said, man, I'm really tired, your brain is saying, just stay in bed. Don't go to church. I mean, it's too early, it's dark, it's raining. Your brain doesn't have as much energy as your heart. But your new heart says, oh no, I've got 5,000 times more energy than my brain. I want to get up and I want to go worship God. I want to worship the one who's given me a new heart. I want to hear from God. I want to touch God. I want to put Him first in my life. There's another great thing about our heart. I don't know if you knew this, that it pumps 2 gallons of blood per minute. Can you imagine? I can't even picture that. So that's 100 gallons an hour. So in an hour that we're in this service, your heart is pumped 100 gallons of blood. And it's pumped blood through your veins. And you know, if you take your veins, no matter how big you are, how small you are, that your veins will wrap around the world twice. Isn't that amazing? We are wonderfully and fearfully made by a God who has a big heart that puts a new heart in us so that we can know Him and we can walk with Him. Oh, it just amazes me. The brain also has its own nervous center. I didn't know if you knew that. It's called its own brain. The heart has its own brain. It acts independently of the brain. Sure, the brain helps to keep pumping, but the brain actually acts independently. The heart acts independently of the brain. It's able to feel, sense, learn, and remember. Did you know how your heart can do that? It has been documented that some people that had a heart transplant from that person who died, they had memories from that person. Amazing, isn't it? The heart is such a wonderful thing. Again, the Bible says it's the center of understanding. We can have brain knowledge or we can have heart understanding. This is what one theologian said about all this. His name is Thielick. I think I said his name right. He said, a sinning pagan is 100 times dearer to God and far more attractive to men than a Christian who knows his Bible, in whom none of his life results in repentance, in action, and above all, death to self. And then he goes on and he says, a terrible curse hangs over the know-it-all who does nothing. I had this experience my very first place of ministry. I was appointed to be a youth pastor there, but it grew into being bigger than that. I ended up being the associate pastor also. And one day when I was in the office, a lady called who lived about 16 miles from the church and wanted to come. She'd never been before, and she needed a ride. So I thought of people that would be near her, so someone would have to make that long trip, 16 miles out and 16 miles back. And there was this young man that I ministered with on Wednesday nights who was very smart. He had memorized the whole book of James. I challenge any of you to do that. And I remember one time he sat down and he quoted to me the whole book of James, all 5 chapters. He was so proud of himself. He's about 21 years old. So I knew that he lived like 1 mile from this lady, so I called him up and I said, will you pick up this lady? Here's her phone number. Here's her address. And he said, no. And I said, why? I don't know. I just don't want to. Well, I said to him, his name was Arthur. Arthur, didn't you just memorize the whole book of James? And it says in there, faith without works is dead. Hello? You just memorize the whole thing that says that if you don't use your faith, then it's absolutely dead. Memorizing all that scripture with his brain did not change him. And God was unable to use him It took me 2 weeks to convince him to pick up that lady and come to church. Well, by that time, she had found another church. Now we're shaking our heads. Some of us are, and I'm shaking my head, but we do the same thing. We read and we hear the Word of God in our brain, and that's where it stays. It doesn't change our actions. Only when it's in our heart do we become effective and do the things that God has called us to do in relationship to other people. If you're following along in your notes, point number two says this: God's new heart for you is the only way to have life. Now, I did something different this time. I made it so that we could all look at the scriptures together. So in your maroon Bible in front of you, some of you have a black one, I'm sorry, but in the maroon one, we're going to turn to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18 and verse 31. Now that is on page 730. See how prepared I came? Page 730 is where Ezekiel 18 and verse 31 starts. Now when you get to page 730, the very last verse on the page of 730, and then we'll read on from there. First of all, verse 30 is talking about how we need to repent, change our ways and follow God. But verse 31 says this: cast away from you all the transgressions, in other words, all your offenses against God, which you have committed, and get yourself, I love this one, don't you love, almost sounds like Ozarkian hillbilly, and get yourself a new heart. That's God's word. And get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. I don't know about you, but I want that new heart for God, and I want a new spirit. And it goes on and says, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Well, we're grafted in. It's referring to us too. Then it goes on, for I have no pleasure. This is God speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. For I have no pleasure in the death of ones who die, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. And that word turn is just another word for repent. But we cannot do that until he gives us that new heart. Only your heart can repent. Not your thoughts. Not my thoughts. They can't repent. The brain can't repent. It has to be God's heart that feels the sorrow of sins that we have committed. I think that's good news. Point number three says this. We don't have it up on the screen? Oh, okay. Only God's new heart in you will grant you success and the ability to fulfill his plan for your life. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36. Hopefully you're already in Ezekiel. But Ezekiel 36, where we're going to look, is on page 751. Page 751, and it'll be in the first column, and it'll be about halfway down. We're going to look at verse 26. So if you're on page 751, and you're in Ezekiel 36, say, I'm there. Well, that's the majority. That's good. Okay, now let's go down to verse 26. This is what it says. God is speaking to the prophet Ezekiel again. Oh, I love it. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Now, I'll think about it, or if you do all these things, or there's all these conditions, I just want to give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk by my statutes. And you will keep my judgments. In other words, you will keep my laws. And you will do them. Why? Because it's written on our heart. When Jesus fulfilled all the law and the Holy Spirit came, we don't have to worry about keeping all those laws any longer. They're written in our heart. They're written on our new heart that God has given us. and we will just know what we're supposed to do. Well, then it goes on and says, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers. Once you get your new heart, your new spirit, you're going to dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. You have to remember back then it was an agricultural economy. So God is saying, I'm going to bless you financially. I'm going to take care of you. You will always not be in a place where you will have to worry about having needs. Then he goes on and he says, I will multiply the fruit of your trees. See it again there, agricultural economy. God's going to bless. God's going to help you succeed. He says, I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Wow, what a wonderful God. It's because of our new heart, not our brain, that God does things for us. Point number four, your new heart is the only thing that gives you an inner awareness of your valuable calling and your inheritance in Christ. Paul prayed for a bunch of believers and Christians in the church in the city Ephesus. And this is what he said. It sounds sort of weird when you first read it. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Notice he doesn't say, I pray that your thoughts and your brain will be enlightened. He's praying for the believers that your heart would be enlightened, the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now right there, I could preach a whole series. Right there is a lot of stuff. But notice it's our heart that he blesses us and he speaks to us. It's his heart that we get the glorious hope and we get the riches of his inheritance. It's not through the brain. Point number five. Your new heart is where you get your inner strength and power. It's certainly not through your thoughts. Our thoughts are very tricky. Our thoughts are the ones that will go along with what our body feels. The heart can overcome what our body's feeling. You know, if we're feeling tired, we're feeling like, well, you know, I just can't do this, I can't do that, our brain will somehow talk us into not doing something, but our heart will always talk us into doing what we need to do. This is what Paul, once again, to the same church in Ephesus, he said this. Seems like Paul was praying a lot, wasn't he? He said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Let me say that one again. Paul said, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. God wants to strengthen you today, and he will not strengthen you in your brain or your thoughts if you're going through something. He can only strengthen you in your God-given heart, the new heart, with the Spirit has written God's Word on it in you. I don't know, I just really feel that this is strong for some people today. They really need to hear this. The mind is always playing tricks on us. And our original heart is wicked and evil and it can't be trusted. So we need to take our new heart from God and we need to use it, we need to exercise it. Now our mind is often doubting God's goodness, doubting God's wisdom, even doubting his perfection of what his intentions are for us. I feel like being vulnerable here for a little while. Well, let me be vulnerable. You know, my wife was really sick, and I guess God gave me this message to preach because I'm really preaching to myself. Okay? And here she's, you know, she just got her PhD not that long ago. Her dream was teaching in a Bible college, and she couldn't go this month down to the Bible college. and teach the 2 weeks because she was sick. And I've been watching her struggle, and I've been watching her suffer, and some of you can relate to this as you've seen your spouse or family members that are suffering, and the doctors still aren't able to help or anything. And I started getting a little upset with God. I'm just being honest with you. That God, we've given up family, we've given up friends, we've given up homes, houses. We've given up all these things to follow you and serve you. And you've done miracles for us over and over again. We've seen miraculous healings. We've seen you do miraculous supernatural stuff all the time. Why aren't you healing my wife, Bonnie? I expected an answer right then and there, of course. Did I get it? No. Did I get it after 1 week? No. Did I have 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? No. But finally, I just realized something, that God doesn't owe me anything. He's already paid the price for my eternal and everlasting life and salvation. I have a hope no matter what. There's even hope in death. Life goes on. It's just one continuing thing. We only suffer here on earth. And God really loves me. And he loves Bonnie. In spite of what she's going through and what we're going through or what you're going through, God loves you. And the thing of it is our brain will talk us into saying that God really doesn't love us. It was like the disciples. They wanted to know, what do we get out of this? Lord, we served you all along. We did all these things. We gave up all these things. Lord, what are we going to get out of this? And the Lord really didn't give them much of an answer. Because we've already gotten everything out of it, what we need. We've gotten him. We've gotten him. Praise God. So what we need to watch out for are these distorted thoughts. Blaming God for the evil Satan has inspired and superimposed on our life. We blame God for the things that happen that are bad, and they're not usually from him. Here's another thing that we need to watch out for in our feelings and our distorted thoughts. Defining God as a God who's been good to others, but has denied you position, pleasure, or prosperity with the conclusion that God is not good to you. That's what happened to Eve. Eve thought God was being stingy, holding something back. And once we begin to suspect God, instead of respect God, we begin to walk away from God. Let me say that one again. The minute that we start to suspect God is holding something back from us, instead of respect God, that's the moment that we are walking away from God. Here's another distorted thought or feeling, making you feel that you have been good, but that God has used you and not rewarded you, leaving your righteousness as an empty sacrifice. That's what the disciples thought. Lord, what do we get out of all this? We've given up everything. Houses, money, position, everything. Another thought or feeling. Blinding you to the fact that God can take the worst things in your life and orchestrate them for good and for gain. And then finally this one. Convincing you that God's way and his will for you are restrictive and oppressive. They're not. He came to give us life in abundance. He came to set us free. And when we have our new heart, and we're living out of our new heart, then we have a life that is filled with joy every 24 hours of every day. So do you have a new heart? My question is to you today. I hope that you do. And are you using your new heart? Amen.